The significance of it for me was quite important because many people would argue that we now live in an ecumenically cold climate, and therefore I would not expect to have been invited or involved. But I think the courage of those who invited somebody from outside of the Roman Catholic tradition was to grasp the questions around a common equivalence of baptism. That, I think, was the key to it. And then to push that out into asking questions what this meant for communion. Now, I think as people use the word communion in a kind of relaxed or, if you want it to be slightly harsher, lazy way, they mean Holy Communion or Eucharist. But if you go into the New Testament understanding of communion, it has to do with communion and community and what, in fact, it is for Christian people to be united through Christ to one another and through their relationships with one another to be united to Christ. So there is a dynamic understanding of communion which goes actually further than being in church and receiving the same bread and wine. So it was the connecting of baptism with that living sense of communion, which was the positive challenge I felt was offered both to those who were ecumenical participants and spectators, and also to the Roman Catholic people, for whom, obviously, the Eucharistic Congress was tremendously powerful because it addressed something about the Eucharist in their context. But the Eucharist, conventionally, in any Christian tradition, to receive the Eucharist requires that you're baptized. So I think it was a kind of opening ecumenical gesture in order to enable people to grapple with a communion beyond the symbols, which are those of bread and wine, leading through to the real presence of Christ in the experience of the believer, and baptism.
At the same time, though, I mean, the difference in terms of Eucharist still exists, and there still are controversies and problems around people receiving Eucharist in each other's churches. So while you were there celebrating baptism and celebrating that sacrament that brought you together, there still is the very real divide between the churches regarding the actual receiving of the Eucharist.
There is, and it may be of interest. Two things may be of interest. One would be what, as it were, my understanding, not just my personal understanding, but my understanding as a member of the Church of Ireland and of the Anglican Communion, of the Eucharist that I or anybody else might celebrate in that tradition, and what you might call it its range or its remit. I would be very clear that if I were to celebrate Holy Communion, or I were in a context where an Anglican was celebrating Holy Communion, the sacrament would be valid. For my own part, I don't need to proof it against somebody else's definition or understanding of a sacrament. So if I celebrate Holy Communion, for example, in a church, I would, as a matter of course and a matter of generosity, issue an invitation to anybody present who customarily received Holy Communion in their own tradition to come forward and receive Holy Communion if that is what they wish to do. So I'm not prepared to assert the invalidity of my own sacrament if I celebrate it, or I'm in a context where it's celebrated in the Anglican way. The other thing I would say is that you might say I was faced with or put in or there was posed to me a dilemma at the concluding Eucharist of the Eucharistic Congress, because there was anything, I suppose, between 75 and 79,000 people in Croke Park for a very big Eucharist. And it was a wonderful thing to be at that because it was packed with people from all over the world, a great international feel, a great sense of solidarity and celebration and culmination. So what happens? There's a row of ecumenical guests and people begin to move forward to receive the Eucharist. Together with another ecumenical guest, I went forward to receive a blessing. Now, some people say, why didn't you, if you're so ecumenical, as it were, ask for the host? I didn't ask for it for two reasons. One of which is that I did not want to embarrass the people who were celebrating the Eucharist in their own tradition. And secondly, had I done so, I wouldn't have brought with me all of the people in my own tradition, some of whom are very happy to do that as private individuals, and some of whom are not. So I felt that by going forward and receiving a blessing in the context of other people's Eucharistic reception, I was being incorporated into that in a way which was important to me, but did not cause offence either to the people who were my hosts or to the people who could not or would not have come with me had I gone the next stage.
But do you think it should be changed? I mean, do you think it's something that maybe we should all just move on from and move towards ecumenism and make it a shared sacrament?
I think it would be in a wonderful place if we could, but I see very many reasons why we can't. Most of them have to do with the building up of doctrinal analysis and assessment of what actually happens physically, spiritually, ontologically and metaphorically in the Eucharist when it's celebrated with elements, and the manner in which those elements carry within them the person of Christ whom they represent. That is unresolved. I think, as I say, we'd be in a much less pained position, but sometimes pain is the expression of honesty, and we're not there yet. I don't think the climate is warming. I think the climate is still cold in this way in terms of official doctrinal and dogmatic understandings. And that's why I think it was a brave ecumenical gesture to seek to combine an exploration of baptism and communion while accepting that the question of the Eucharist is currently unresolved.